Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think you would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to This Week in Geek, and this is the topic show for the month of March in April. I've been sick. I'll address that in just a moment, but I'm not alone as we trek down to one of the most epic battles, well, at least on paper anyway, that a lot of nerds like to talk about. I am joined with...
Andrew, this movie sucks, Roebuck.
And Ryan, whatever the hell. Oh, right, the uneven flow slash, yeah, this movie does suck.
This movie sucks. And if you haven't guessed it by now, folks, we're going to be talking about Batman v Superman, but not just the movie. We're going to talk about some of the stuff they've done in comic books, some of the stuff they've done on television through the DC animated universe. And I know Roebuck created like a supercut or something, or something that Ryan told me about like late last week.
He just watched a bunch of the good episodes of like the animated series, which had Batman and Superman in it. I suppose he could actually talk, but I figure by now he's already wandered away from his computer.
Ooh, look, a shiny object starring Spider-Man. Oh, sorry.
And Godzilla.
Yes, I just needed a cleanse, so I watched every DC animated segment that starred the two characters, and they were all a million times better than Batman versus Superman.
So
I like it when I might be the most enthusiastic out of us.
So, for this show, because Ryan made a very good point to me last month, there is no point in doing just the facts for this, because Batman, you know his origin. Superman, you know his origin. We've seen it on television countless times and movies countless times. There's no use in rehashing what you already know. So there will be no just the facts for this one.
I forgot to send it to you. I actually recorded one. This is what it consisted of. It's Batman with Superman.
And Wonder Woman kind of shows up. And
finally, the film where Wonder Woman reads emails and there's a jar of piss. This is the comic book movie I've waited my life for.
So as I was saying, there will be no just the facts for this particular episode. This is going to be a lot of debate and talking and kind of analyzing what went right, what went wrong, and where the future is going to be headed for the DC animated universe. And as I was mentioning off the top of the show there, that's my fucking wife's cell phone going off.
Which, by the way, sounds probably like Warner Brothers headquarters during the second week that this was out. There's some sort of klaxon going off. By the way, the klaxon way less annoying than the horrible Rogue One klaxon. What the hell is that noise? It sounded like a raptor. It sounded like a raptor from Jurassic Park 3 getting something shoved up its ass.
That's so
creative. Or it's probably the noise that Roebuck made watching Batman versus Superman in the theater.
Just the whole time. So anyway, like I was saying, so earlier this month, I did have quite a significant health scare. And I know I've had some people reach out on Twitter and Facebook and asking me what's wrong. I don't want to go into the super specifics of it, but suffice to say, there's going to be some big changes coming to me personally. And the word surgery has most definitely been mentioned more than a few times with this. So if everything works out right, I should be healthier in hopefully less than a year's time, if not more. But big lifestyle changes are coming. So if you can send your good vibes, I would most definitely appreciate it. Because I don't get scared much, but this actually has me legitimately kind of nervous. But if everything works out right, the Birdman will be around for many, many more years to annoy you and make dying raptor sounds.
So, we hope so.
We hope so. So,
and to review Ryan poorly in your podcast.
Yeah.
Ryan, always bringing it back to himself.
Damn yeah. Right. Well, somebody had to bring it up after that. I mean, I wasn't going to count on you to fix it because you probably like just ran off.
But yeah, so what happened is earlier this week, we actually got some feedback via
Blanchard's website.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny because the guy's like, I love Birdman Dude, but Ryan's so boring.
Well, it's like, Birdman Dude, but I'd like to point out.
Birdman Dude. That's what they call me in some countries. But no, I did find that kind of funny because, Ryan, I always find I count on you to be my expert in almost everything. I actually consider you a better geek than me sometimes because you have this encyclopedic knowledge of like everything. It's actually kind of,
yeah, it's called having no life, but hey,
hey, but that's what we like. We fill our lives with a geek.
How can I not be entertaining? I do nothing but make smart ass comments all the time.
Exactly. That's why I like you. That's why Roebuck loves you secretly.
Yes.
And I still find time to play pretty much every video game in existence.
Except Call of Duty, asshole.
Oh, fuck off. I mean, I try not to swear on this. Whoops. Bugger off.
Okay, now.
Just because I don't review something doesn't mean I haven't played it, for Christ's sake. Oh, whatever.
A likely story, Ryan.
Listen, right. Why don't you go watch Godzilla or whatever the hell it is you do.
Whatever this thing.
I can multitask.
Okay, so let's kind of get things started here.
Do we have to?
Yeah, but I'm going to try and start us off on a positive spin. So how we're going to start this thing off is, because this is Batman and Superman, I'd love to get people's first experiences with each of the heroes. And I'll kind of start us off so you kind of get an idea on where I want to go with this. So
you heard about Batman last week.
Yep. It was on, like, a newspaper. The first time I actually got in the Batman was I knew of him because my parents used to have this huge satellite dish, and we used to watch A&E. And at that time, they had A&E showed the original 1966 Batman series either after or before A&E's Night at the Improv. So I was
followed by intervention
where basically I'd get really dirty comedians and then randomly Batman. Like, see, that explains a lot of my humor, actually. And then it would be a couple years later, I remember my parents taking me to see the Tim Burton Batman back in 1989. I actually remember this night perfectly. I went with my parents to go see Batman. It was at this awesome drive-in, which has this huge Indian head on the back of the first screen. You've actually seen this drive-in in actually a couple of different movies, actually. And it was this dark and rainy night. It was like thunderstorming at the like same time. So kind of setting the like atmosphere for the night. And I just remember taking my next door neighbor, Melissa, to it. And in my mind, this is a date. It totally wasn't. But I just remember seeing the Tim Burton Batmobile, being utterly enthralled by it. Remember when the Joker aimed his giant revolver at the Batplane and Batman shooting down Adam Thumb. And in my life, that was the coolest thing I'd like ever seen. And as for Superman, I don't remember seeing the first movie till I was in high school, actually. And I think I just rented it because I was really bored one weekend, or like I was really sick or something. And I saw the first one, and then I saw Superman 2. And it wasn't until years upon years later that I actually got around to seeing Superman 3 and 4. I've actually seen 3
the
and
vastly
4 the
superior sequels.
I actually, you know what? I just remembered this now. I have a really weird memory of, I think it was my mom tried to show me Superman 3 when I was a kid, but all I remember is Richard Pryor and some lady that got turned into the Borg for some reason.
That's pretty much the entire movie, and it's still better than Batman v Superman.
And that's not all I can remember. I got more in the Superman later on, and it's randomly because of this. We have a channel up here in Canada called Space Network, which is like the American sci-fi channel, but way better, nine times out of ten. And they had a promo for Smallville. And this is when Green Day's American Idiot album was huge. And they had a promo cut with Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I'd never seen Smallville before. I'd heard of it, but I'd never seen it. So I saw that promo, and I'm like, oh, man, this just something about the way that commercial was cut really got my attention. So I went out to Walmart that night, and they had the first season for like $15. I'm like, all right, well, if it sucks, whatever, it's only $15, who cares? And I powered through most of Smallville, and I want to say about 2005, 2006, I went through as many seasons as I could. I kind of dropped the show when I went into college and randomly started watching The Adventures of Superman, which was the DC animated show from the 90s. And that's pretty much my experience, mostly with both heroes. I mean, obviously, I watched Batman, the animated series, and I would go on later to watch Batman Beyond, which is actually probably my favorite Batman series, actually. But anyway.
Don't tell DC Comics that.
All right, so who wants to go next?
Well, I'm a boring millennial, so I saw it in first introduction to both characters was most likely the animated series. I think I watched a little bit of Batman 66 when I was young because it was just really fun and really easily digestible entertainment, and I've kind of been a fan of the characters ever since.
Now, are there any things that, like, kind of stick out in your mind from, like, each character? Like, did you, like, how many of the movies did you see in theaters?
Oh, I saw Batman and Robin in the theater, and the most I remember that movie is my dad snoring. My dad just snored through the entire film, which was in its own more entertaining than the movie. But
you were a kid, quips. You liked it.
No, actually, really? I think I was kind of bored of that movie. It didn't really work for me even then. I don't think I hated it, but like I don't think it wasn't my favorite. And then
even as a kid, you were a stuffy critic.
That's true.
I hate sequels. Critic. I'm Andrew Roebuck. I'm going to write a book about these.
This is all true. Anyways, and then I saw, well, I didn't see Superman Returns in the theater, so I have not seen a Superman movie in the theater until Batman v Superman. And then I saw the Dark Knight trilogy in the theater as well.
I actually got lucky enough to see, I really like Superman Returns. Actually, I remember seeing that in theater. I remember there were actually people dressed up at my local theater, which I thought was really unusual, actually, because I come from a really small town. But anyway, Ryan,
born and raised on the playground was where you spent most of your days chilling.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Batman's
Deadshot.
Oh, wait, sorry. As another boring millennial, I'm on a roll. I grew up watching Batman 66, was my first exposure to Batman. I always thought it was kind of campy. It was on, and so was the Spider-Man animated series.
Which
so I got
one?
Exposed to an awful lot of camp. Oh, the old one, not the 90s one. This is before the 90s.
So the,
oh,
one
the 60s?
I'm old, remember?
Or,
yeah, the 60s. Okay. 60s, a.k.a. best version of Spider-Man.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Really?
Oh, okay.
We need to argue later. Yeah, Batman 66, but I didn't really get into the character. I mean, it was later on, and I would see Tim Burton's Batman, because my brother was a huge fan, and he had it on VHS. That's those things way before like disc-based systems, kids. And so I got into Batman a little more at that point, and then the big thing was when the Batman the Animated Series kind of made its way up here finally. So I was big into that. And for Superman, it was a little slower. It was mostly from my brother's comics, and I knew it was a big deal because I remember the death of Superman making the local news and national news and everything, because that was a huge deal. I don't know if comic books themselves will ever reach that level of sort of mainstream coverage of a singular book. Now, obviously, comic books are big news, but not necessarily for one issue. So that was a big deal. And as for Superman movies, I didn't see many of them. I never saw any of them in theater. I would see them years after. Batman movies, the first Batman movie I went to in theater was Batman Forever. So like Andrew, not a great first Batman film. But I still remember distinctly, I didn't go see Batman and Robin because for some odd reason, Batman Forever left a bad taste in my mouth. And so I skipped Batman and Robin. I had no interest in seeing Batman Begins because in the interim, I had seen Batman and Robin. And I thought, well, probably don't want to see any more of these movies. But I ended up getting kind of dragged to a midnight screening for Batman Begins and absolutely loved it. So that's my exposure for the films. You know, I've seen all of them since then in theater.
I can't remember how I saw Batman Begins. I kind of wonder if I didn't see that one until college, but I remember distinctly going to see The Dark Knight. I remember seeing that like 6 or 7 times. I think my old college roommate Pierce, I think he went like 12 times during its like theatrical run, which I remember that having a number of annoying collector's editions for the Blu-ray that were really annoying to get my fucking hands on. So, okay. I'm trying to figure out how do I want to approach this. Batman v Superman. This is a movie that has been in development for years. This is basically DC's attempt to launch their own shared universe. Obviously seeing the success of Marvel with Iron Man and their latest movie, which will be Marvel Captain America Civil War. It comes out in just over a month. Actually, its premiere as of tonight is its world premiere, the red carpet in Los Angeles, but it's already been screened for critics.
Yep.
Which, boy, have you seen it?
No, just okay. People I know. I didn't get it wasn't showing locally or else, yeah, I would have.
I haven't found out whether there's a Toronto screening or not yet, but anyway, moving on. Now, this movie has had an interesting production history because a lot of people were really mad that Ben Affleck was cast as Batman. I can remember the Batfleck jokes for years because everyone remembers him doing Daredevil back in, what, 2003, was it?
Yeah, but it wouldn't have, I mean, with Daredevil, it wouldn't have mattered who was Daredevil. I mean, the movie, the dialogue, everything was garbage. Justice is blind. Or my favorite line, what are you here for? Justice!
I got it.
Wow. Who the hell wrote that? Also, how does the blind guy make a DD out of lighter fluid?
You know what? I never thought about that.
That's a good question.
He asked the kindly older gentleman.
But Evanescence soundtrack.
Yeah, that's great. Says the guy who has the soundtrack to the Lizzie McGuire film.
It's sitting right beside me. Thank you very much.
I hate you. So, Yeah, I mean, so I didn't have an issue with the casting, and after seeing the movie, I thought he was one of the brighter spots. Jeremy Irons was terrific as well.
I remember a lot of people jumping on Gal Gadot, who was cast as Wonder Woman, saying she looked too skinny. And I'll admit, I was too, looking at her. I'm like, she didn't have the athletic look I expected the Princess of the Amazons to have.
Does she ever actually look kind of stacked, though? Like, DC Animated Universe, yeah. Justice League, Wonder Woman doesn't look, you know, like a bodybuilder or anything either.
I don't know. There's something. She has the qualities of what I would expect an Amazon to look like. But when I saw Gal Gadot, or at least her very early pictures, I wasn't convinced. It wasn't until the first shot of her in the costume came. I'm thinking, okay, that works.
Go ahead.
She was uniquely suited to answer emails that have a lot of
exposition. Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. She's good in this movie. Too bad her main contribution to it is reading exposition emails.
And chopping a dude's hand off.
Well, she does fight in the end.
She does, but I mean, she probably could have had... There's a number of issues with the final fight, but I mean...
The final fight is just action figures just smashing against each other.
Yeah, like, but I mean, one of the more obvious ones is, gee, I don't know, why not give the poison spear to either Wonder Woman or Batman instead of just take it yourself so you can die?
Well, okay, before we get into the actual... reviewing of the film, let's kind of lead up to it.
I love that there was no restraint on spoilers. It was just like, bam.
Who cares? Well,
everybody who is going
to see this movie has clearly already seen it, since the drop-off happened and nobody's going to it anymore anyway. So I don't think we have to worry about it.
Well, okay. Another thing that I think this movie had problems with is it had... problems with its trailer. It had problems with its release date, because this movie got pushed back quite a bit. This movie was supposed to come out last year, if I remember correctly.
Way back when. It didn't take long for them to remember the original date. They had it coming out the same weekend as Civil War. I think it was Marvel, actually, that blinked on that one.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, which is fine. The long gestation period for this, it started its promotional run 32 months before the movie. That's well over 2 years. It's actually over 2.5 years. But anyway, so we've been hearing about it forever, which I don't think helped it in the long run. I think there was a lot of fatigue by the time it came out.
Well, I think part of it, too, is because after the reception of Man of Steel... people were like, okay, cool, we're going to have this. And then news started to trickle out. It was going to be like a pseudo Justice League movie. And a lot of people were saying, well, don't you have to establish who these people are first? And I think DC took the ball and tried to run with it. But unfortunately, they fumbled because so many bad things came out about it. I mean, one of the person helming the DCU... is Zack Snyder. And I will go on record and say I do like 300. I do like Watchmen. Everything else is... I was not a fan of Man of Steel. Actually, I remember walking out of that movie physically pissed off after the whole Zod neck snapping thing. And I just remember a lot of people had a lot of reservations with this kind of going into it, feeling like DC... was rushing things. And then the trailer started to come out for this movie. And I think the first one was okay. It didn't tell us a whole hell of a lot other than, do you bleed? And okay, that's scary. But all right, it worked. It worked for what it was. And then we got the second trailer. And that's when I think the wheels off the shopping cart started to come off.
See, I disagree. I actually thought the trailers for the movie were relatively good up until the point that the more recent trailers came out. Because the second trailer that a lot of people didn't like, I actually thought was okay. It looked like it had some promise. I was wrong.
So are you talking about the Doomsday trailer?
No, pre-Doomsday trailer.
Yeah, see, in my mind, when the Doomsday trailer came out, that's when everything was like,
Oh, okay.
Fuck. And that, I think that's when DC, they started to... panic is not necessarily the right word, but they wanted to get you so excited they couldn't contain it. And I think that soured a lot of people, because a lot of movies, at least in the last couple of years, have a lot of problems with them giving away the entire movie in the friggin' trailer. Let us be surprised. And when I saw Doomsday in this, I think I had this conversation with Ryan like a year ago. In the regards, if you're going to build a DC shared universe, Doomsday should be your villain for like two or three, something like that. Let Superman be established first. Let his death mean something. And in this one, he's a throwaway villain. The guy who killed Superman, one of the greatest threats in the DC universe, outside of maybe the Anti-Monitor and Darkseid, is nothing. He's given no characterization other than the fact that, yep, he's a super crazy creation made from Zod's body at the end. There was no build-up to it. Like, you don't care when Superman dies. And just knowing that he was in this movie, like, everyone was, like, I remember everybody was talking online thinking, how the hell are they going to cram all this with appearances from The Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman... And there was a rumored Green Lantern thing, but that never appeared. Thank Christ for that. And just things started to not look good. And then the movie got screened for critics.
No. It was a fan. The original screenings were fan screenings. Okay. I can attest that the critic screenings were heavily embargoed. They did happen early, but it was fan screenings initially. So that initial positive reaction when things started up, that was the fans.
Okay, fair enough.
The critics weren't allowed to say anything. It was embargoed until just before release, which, by the way, should generally be a hint that something's not good, because when that happens with video games, you can pretty much guarantee they're terrible.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And film, I can honestly say from personal firsthand knowledge, Warner's was worried about this movie, and they have been for a while. Their internal screenings went so poorly, they dropped their expectations from over $1 billion to the $700 million mark, which we also now know would have been losing money, because it breaks even at about $800 million.
I remember... One of the things I think Warner Brothers did right was to seed the fan community with excitement to get those positive reactions. Because if Warner Brothers marketing did anything right, their YouTube presence was phenomenal. They knew how to rope people in. They got big YouTubers like Pixel Dan Erdley. They got Angry Joe. Oh, shit. Angry Joe.
All right.
I almost dropped water on my power supply. So that's
they had some good commercials and the like leading up to it. But
yeah, I also don't remember as many fast food or like other kind of tie-ins other than the Doritos ones.
There's a lot. In fact, that's another reason why it cost $800 million. They spent a ton of money for tie-ins.
Okay, so what were some of the times that you remember? I only saw the Doritos ones. Maybe Dr.
Yeah, I didn't
Pepper.
See a lot here. I think there's a number of them in the U.S. and probably worldwide. A fair amount of their money went to that.
One of the weirder ones was the Turkish Airlines one.
Yeah.
For marketing. Although I would say the viral commercials associated with that, where they had Batman, or where they had Bruce Wayne talking about Gotham City, and then they had Lex Luthor talking about
Metropolis being reestablished. Yeah,
like I thought those were actually really, really clever, and that actually gave me hope for it.
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said I liked them, but hell with it. I'm going straight into the start of the movie. The film didn't know what it wanted to be. I've heard a lot of people argue that this movie was for fans and not critics. My problem with that is, if this is for the fans, why is our opening sequence Bruce Wayne's origin? Every fan knows this sequence. And I mean, I am putting it on record now. If Sony opens their goddamn Spider movie with Uncle Ben fucking dying again, I'm leaving the theater. I don't need to see this for the umpteenth time. I mean, it's in every version. It's constantly referenced, whether it appears in the film or sequel or not. Hell, they even retconned it in Spider-Man 3. There's no point. So if you're making something for the fans, why do you have so many sequences in your film that are not meant for fans? Now, so off the bat, I feel like it was disjointed. It didn't know what it wanted to be. And for anyone who doesn't know, I'm actually a critic. And so part of the issue is when you review something, you have to review it from the average person. So in other words, not a fan. One of the reasons for a lot of the negative critical reviews is if you go see this movie with somebody who's not a fan of Batman, Superman, Flash, et cetera, they won't know what the hell is going on in this movie. It was a mess. I had to explain to people who the hell the Flash was. They didn't set anything up for people who aren't fans. And then again, as I said before, they include a number of sequences that are there for non-fans, like Superman saving people, which, by the way, Zack Snyder comes off as a petulant child from this film. Oh, you didn't like Superman not saving people? Here's a boring 5-minute action sequence with Superman backlit like Jesus.
Yeah, that was a little heavy-handed.
So we continue on with the film, and the other issue I have is the main battle in this absolutely falls flat. So the crux of the issue is Batman is angry at Superman for killing people. Meanwhile, Batman in this film fucking guns down as many people as like the Punisher in the 80s. Yeah. The hell is this? He has no moral ground with which to challenge Superman on anything. At least the people who died from Superman were an accident. Instead of running around shooting people, harpooning them, running them down with the Batmobile. Also, by the way, Zack Snyder further proved that he may not be the sharpest tool in the shed when he said, quote, well, the explosions killed them, not the bullets or the Batmobile. Yeah, thanks there.
So, I mean, Superman did kill a few people with an AK-47, apparently.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten to plot holes. I was just going with the fact that thematically the film fails within its first hour or so. And let's not get into the stupid branding thing, which results in guys getting beaten to death, too. Like, Batman is a straight up... There's a reason in Marvel Comics where the Punisher doesn't lecture Captain America about, you know, war etiquette. It's because it's stupid. And they know that. Like, so, again, you know, my issue with Batman, I don't care if he kills or not. That's fine. I have no problem with them changing him up or making him darker. And I thought Affleck played this character really well. The problem I have is if you're going to have him do that, he loses any form of moral superiority he has over everyone. If the main theme had been Bruce feeling inadequate because there are gods running around when he's just a guy, that would have worked so much better.
I mean, they at least mention that in the film, but it's not really...
It's hinted, but it should have been the main focus rather than,
yeah,
you killed people. Okay, that's fine, Mr. Wayne, but you kill people deliberately every night. That's different. Okay.
Yeah, like this, like, The movie takes so many issues with what we've come to expect from both of the characters. Like I said, thematically, it's a fucking mess. And someone described this online perfectly. It's like someone gave Zack Snyder a copy of the Injustice video game, a copy of The Dark Knight Returns. He didn't read any of the panels. He just glanced at them and said, okay, that looks cool.
And if any of that's true, by the way, why is Lex Luthor a goddamn moron?
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed during this, and it wasn't until someone pointed this out to me, is in the movie they make it a point to mention that this Lex Luthor is Lex Luthor Jr. He's not the Lex Luthor. I'm thinking, that, like, why do you feel the need to make that decision?
So that he can act like a complete idiot.
Yeah, he's like a discount Joker or a slightly stupider Riddler.
He's getting what he wants, and he enacts plans for no reason, really. I mean, blowing up Congress was completely useless. Let's not get into the urine subplot, which was even more useless. You know, which, by the way, kills Mercy Graves. But Zack Snyder's idea of comic book cameos is to murder them. Because we get Jimmy Olsen later on.
Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, look, later on. It's the first scene of the movie.
Maybe I meant to. I was going to get to it later on. Along with Superman being framed for murder with an AK-47, if you type that sentence out and you think that, like, oh, I have no problems with this, then I'd like to congratulate Mr. Bay on finding our podcast. There's just so many issues. So, yeah, he kills off tertiary characters as cameos, which, okay, way to waste those characters for any future filmmakers that may have wanted to use them. But just Lex in general in this is awful, and his plot with Doomsday doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, he has no method to control this thing.
I was about to say, yeah, I mean, for a guy who wants to protect humanity, you're sure as hell going about it in a really strange way. And then at the end of the film, he's like, we rang a bell and in the darkness something heard it. But say, you don't want it to save Earth. You want to friggin' destroy this place.
Well, he brings up Darkseid and alludes to him a number of times too, which, by the way, more foreshadowing that nobody except your kind of diehard comic book fans are going to get, and you just lose the general audience and critics with just... why movie so disjointed? It's making my review disjointed. Oh, let's not forget the climax, because we can't talk about this movie without that. Martha.
We're Martha Bros, yo!
I also love how Superman's all like, yo, I cannot find my mom. I do not know where she is. And then Batman just finds her in like 5 minutes with no investigation. Batman. So he just fucking shows up. He's like,
somebody sent him an exposition-laced email.
Probably. Lex was like, yo, P.S., this is where the body be at. Girl. That's how Lex texts and does stuff.
Please never do that again.
All right, bro. Ugh.
He was turned. Anyway, now that we're gonna... Now, like we've discussed, there are so many plot holes with this movie. We could pretty much fill the entire podcast with it. So, Ryan, what were your top three plot holes with this
Superman gets framed for murder with an AK-47.
Yep.
Do I have to explain why this is a bad idea? Complete thematic breakdown. With Batman as a murderer, which again is fine on its own. No issues with that. It's just you can't just do that and keep this theme. It just doesn't function. The Martha thing's not a plot hole. It's just plain stupid, but I so want to throw it in. But the other plot hole I'll go with is just Lex never makes sense. None of his plans work. None of them make any sense. Even the Bond supervillains would think they're dumb.
All right, Roebuck.
All of it. I don't know. The pee scene, probably. The biggest pothole is how did he get enough time to get that pee in that room and get out, right? Like, did he do it?
What about your favorite one, which is Bruce at the end doesn't know who... know who Wonder Woman is after he's just emailed her.
I thought she was with you. JK, I totally just emailed her a few minutes ago, but you don't even know that Superman. We're not friends now. We're not Martha Bros.
I guess it's supposed to be, you know, one of the few comedic moments in the film, I suppose. But having, you know, murder-tastic Batman deliver it, I don't know if that works.
Yeah, I'd say my biggest issue with this is trying to cram too much of the DC universe into one movie. I appreciate the fact that they tried to put in Cyborg with what looks like, I think it's a mother box, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Aquaman, I thought that was actually kind of neat. Though the Flash scene bothered me because you never got a clear look at him. And it's the Injustice Flash, which... For those that are not diehard fans, I had a lot of people asking, like, what the hell is this?
I completely forgot, by the way. That entire sequence was another one completely useless. I mean, there was no point to that dream sequence. Somebody apparently watched Avengers Age of Ultron, didn't fall asleep during all the Thor dream sequences, and decided, hey, you know what would be even better if we had a much longer pointless scene?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, you all right there?
Oh, yeah.
I would also say, what was else? That's all terrible. I'm trying to remember what specific terrible part I was at. Oh, gosh. Let's relive the film. Oh, yeah, sorry. So I happened to go to the washroom at the part where all the exposition clips happen. So I haven't even seen. So I was like, oh, she's just reading emails. I guess it's a quick time to run out and go to the washroom. Little did I know all of those emails would be everything that's going to happen in future movies.
Not only that, but try to explain or sort of piece things together here.
Yeah, okay, so we get to see Aquaman, and then who else? Because I know we get to see
Aquaman and Cyborg kind of our main reveals in that particular segment.
And then we find out that Lex Luthor is a graphic designer and made them all logos.
Yeah, that kind of bothered me too. Like, what the hell? But for those of the fans that don't necessarily know what those logos are, whatever.
Yeah, and that's another issue. I mean, if you're not going, you know, if this is not for the fans, why are you including?
Well, one of the other things that kind of bothered me, too, is, like I was saying before, trying to allude to the larger DCU, where they're, like, Lex is already labeling these people metahumans, something like that. Now, he has files on Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Cyborg. Cyborg, to me, doesn't seem to fit this metahuman to me anyway. The Flash does. Wonder Woman does. But Cyborg's just a guy with stuff in him, I guess.
We all just guys with stuff in them?
It's trying to expand the universe too much too quickly. Whereas Iron Man and the Marvel stuff took years upon years to establish, okay, there's some weird stuff out there. Here's a few lines of dialogue to maybe explain it. Here's the Agent Coulson character.
Let's not heap praise on Marvel too much here, because a lot of the issues with this movie are some of the same ones Age of Ultron had. It's just Age of Ultron worked a lot better because we knew the characters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd argue it's like a combination of the shit in Iron Man 2, like all the terrible parts of Iron Man 2 with all the annoying parts of Age of Ultron.
Which is, yeah, the Age of Ultron stuff, it's pointless setup for another film. Stuff that it doesn't belong in this movie, and therefore shouldn't have been in this film, but it's there to support the next sequel. And, you know, Age of Ultron, we had Thor, we had a number of different, maybe Hawkeye's family, I don't know what the hell, I don't know what the point of some of that was, but I know they needed to ground them, but geez, there was better things than to introduce a family out of left field. Now I'm going back to Age of Ultron, great. But it's, yeah, I mean, they took a lot of the bad elements of the Marvel films for this one. And it clearly wasn't deliberate. It's just, I don't know what to expect when you get Goyer and Snyder together. Two guys who, to be blunt, are not known for creating a coherent narrative in the first place. And then asking them to set up things long term. It seemed like a mistake from the start.
Yeah, like, I genuinely feel that DC backed the wrong horse here in terms of playing the kind of long game with this. Now, to try and spin things positive for just a few moments here, did anything work in this?
I liked the actor choices. I think I've said that before. And briefly, I was excited for future things. I was excited for Wonder Woman, and then Gail Godot had the interview just the other day where she talked about how incredibly dark the movie's going to be. So for a second I was excited and thought, oh boy, you know, hey, maybe they've got something here, because she was good in it. And then she talked about how, like, oh, there's a moment or two of humor, but I don't know where people have gotten the idea that it's going to be fun. Oh good. Thank you for shooting that down for me.
So, I mean, I was excited because it's like, oh, look, Mercy, she's cool. Oh, she just died. Never mind. No longer excited. Sad.
Yeah, and you and I have disagreed on this a bit, too, that you weren't a huge fan of the acting choices.
No, I just didn't care about them.
I guess.
I don't think they were very inspired. I just think they were perfectly serviceable.
I'd agree with that, but the only thing I'd say is I'm not sure that you could have chosen actors to make this really inspired. I mean, again, thematically, anyone they choose as Batman doesn't work, but from a performance standpoint, I thought Affleck did really well with the material he was given. It's just the material he's given doesn't make sense in the context of this film.
I mean, I guess we'll see when he makes a good Batman movie, and then maybe I'll be like, oh, okay. But like for now, it's just like, that was fine.
My biggest issue is I came away from this movie, it's no fun.
No.
And I have no faith in this universe to be enjoyable. I can only say things about Suicide Squad that's in the trailers. So hint, hint as to whether or not I know other things. But it's not a fun movie either. And unless these reshoots are changing it heavily, it's going to be another kind of really dark. It's better made from what I've heard or from the trailers. But it's still not going to be, you know, the enjoyable comic book movies. Now we can open up a discussion on whether or not a comic book movie needs to be fun. I feel like the Nolan films very much were about as dark as you want to take it with the more colorful characters. I mean, say what you want about Batman, but I mean, at his core, despite being pretty dark, it's still just a dude in a suit. And it's not a guy who generally, you know, tortures, or he's not the Punisher, although God knows this version, he's a little closer. But there's still elements there that are amusing, and his relationship with Alfred is generally depicted as humorous, or the two of them can at least banter or talk to each other like normal people. But it just, I come away from this feeling like we'll never see any of that. There's too much, and Snyder wasn't or isn't a guy, it seems like, who can do humor or anything like that.
Which, there were some parts in Watchmen that I thought worked, but that was probably because of dialogue.
Yeah, you're also taking, that's a straight adaptation. I mean, it's pretty hard to mess that up completely.
One of the things I worry about, and you did very much touch on, what's going to happen with Suicide Squad. Now, supposedly these reshoots are because of someone's schedule. No, this is a direct response. I really genuinely think that. And I will say it is. Which I kind of wonder if anybody in my, or I wonder if any of my friends who were on set for the original shooting will get a chance to come back for it. So who knows? But you look at the trailer that was released the other day for the, I think it was the MTV Movie Awards, the Blitz trailer. DC wants that Guardians of the Galaxy vibe so badly. And like you said, unless this movie is heavily reshot and re-edited, I do not have a lot of faith in the DCU, which kind of sucks, because Suicide Squad, I remember before, I didn't care. Now I'm excited for it because the trailers look good. But if what you're saying is true and the movie's a lot darker and not representative of what we're actually going to get, like, actually, before today, in prep for this, I watched Batman Assault on Arkham.
Oh, what an awful movie. Anyways,
I really enjoyed that one, actually.
Okay, there you go. We disagree, but okay.
But, well, no. See, I wouldn't mind seeing something like that, because the movie's dark when it needs to be, but it's also comedic when it needs to be, too. I like that. I think that would work. But having an overly dark and serious Suicide Squad movie, I don't know, because if the movies are, if it's as dark as it's supposed to be, having the trailers cut as this up, I wouldn't say more fun Guardians of the Galaxy vibe, this is, Warner Brothers is going to run into some serious trouble.
I think it can be solid if you do it as a dark film. My issue is that when you become consistently one tone, you eventually sort of become tone deaf, or people stop paying attention to it, and they run the risk of that. There was very little joy in Man of Steel, and there's very little joy here. I mean, again, for And for the record, by the way, one thing I've absolutely despised is the treatment of critics in this. People saying stupid things like, well, they didn't go after the Marvel movies. Are you kidding? I skewered the shit out of Age of Ultron. It got one of my like barely passable kind of grades. And I did the same for Thor as well. The Marvel films are far from perfect, and they've definitely been called out for all the not-so-good stuff they've done. And it's ridiculous to, you know, use revisionist history to try to say, oh, nobody said anything bad about them. No.
I was going
to
say, yeah, because people didn't like Iron Man 2. Iron Man 3 had its problems. The first Thor, I thought, flat out sucked.
Yep. And Captain America, the first one, wasn't great. Solid period stuff, but everything else was blah. So the one thing the Marvel movies have done really well, though, is jump both tones and genres. I just mentioned Captain America 1. Like it or not, a lot of it is period piece, and that's something different. Guardians of the Galaxy was borderline, you know, it was kind of action, adventure, humor. And then, you know, Iron Man 3 was a lot more serious, despite Tony Stark still making quips, that kind of thing. Avengers is your big team fun stuff. Ant-Man was a little closer to Guardians in tone, but now we're getting Doctor Strange. And that's leaving aside the TV stuff, which is completely different. Like, Daredevil to Jessica Jones, a very different series. So one thing Marvel's done well is shift tone so you don't feel like you're watching the same movie each time. And I'm concerned that Warner is just making the mistake with the DC properties.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it, because Marvel will take a chance on something, because in all likelihood, Guardians shouldn't have worked. Ant-Man was a character nobody gave a shit about because they took a risk and it worked. With this, I can see that they want their universe to be dark and all that stuff, because I guess they saw the success of the Nolanverse, and that's sort of what Zack Snyder does, is this dark and gritty thing. I think that's going to turn a lot of people off, because Batman is a lot of kids' favorite hero. He does inspire. Some of his stuff, I think, is really good. Don't kill. Do the right thing because it is the right thing to do. Sort of thing. Superman stands for hope. There is no joy to be found in the DCU. And that really sucks to say. I wanted something from the DC Cinematic Universe that would make me feel genuinely excited for these characters again. I mean, the fact that we have the Holy Trinity on screen, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, I should feel a thrill. And it's cool to see them fight, but I wanted something more than just, oh, that looks cool. You know what I mean? Like, the first time I saw the Avengers, when they're standing in New York and that does that camera pan around shot that movie's famous for, I just, big stupid grin on my face. Yeah. I never had that with any of the DCU stuff, and I fear that I never will.
It's frustrating, too. I feel like, Andrew, if you're still awake, you might be able to back me up on this.
Hello.
I feel like maybe it came out at a bad time, too, because you look at Daredevil Season 2, which, for all its problems with the Black Sky storyline, had an absolutely masterful job with Jon Bernthal as the Punisher. And that storyline was incredible. And, I mean, I'm a diehard Punisher fan who's pretty difficult to please. And I thought it was absolutely perfect. But even within that, granted, it's kind of black comedy and dark humor, but even the Punisher had like more humorous moments than Superman.
Yep, pretty much. It's a stark difference. I don't think the movie ever would have been that good, like as is being released, but I think it would probably meet extra harsh criticism when they were just told a darker story that still managed to balance a lot of tones and was well written. And this movie was not at all. It was bad, guys. It's a bad movie.
Okay, so
next month, let's talk about something good. Punisher in Daredevil Season 2. I'll start. So, do your damn show.
Okay, so I guess let's talk about the future of the DCAU. What can they do to maybe right this ship?
Bring in John Bernthal as the Punisher. Amalgam universe for Andrew.
Yes, I want Dark Claw, and I want him to fight Mandronestro and Bizarnage, all of the greatest characters ever written in the history of comic books. Anyway, you know, they could probably just burn the entire franchise and like maybe be like, hey, Ben Affleck fell into a portal that brought him into another universe, and he's now, Gal Gadot also fell in. They both fell into like a multiverse portal and ended up in a good DC universe. So you can still technically keep them, but, like, I don't know, maybe just do, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths and just watch the Snyderverse burn and have those two survive and in a properly run universe.
Well, supposedly, I've heard them talk about they're going to do something like Final Crisis anyway.
Oh, God, not Final Crisis, not anything but Final Crisis.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything internally. All I know so far is internally the reaction to this movie is not good at all. Warner Brothers and its execs, there was a Variety article, and there's a couple of them, that had quotes from people saying that anything less than $1 billion is a failure. And that pretty much sticks to what I've heard, and what I've heard the reaction internally is, which is, you know, not good. It's not going to clear the $1 billion mark. It's probably not going to come close, actually, barring a like major surge in the next couple of weeks. The other issue, I think, too, and this is a question I wanted to ask, and Andrew and I have talked about, is anything less than $1 billion for two of pop culture's biggest icons in the same movie, isn't that an absolute disaster, period?
Well, yeah, I mean, because it should be huge.
This is a movie that should compete with Star Wars in terms of title and star power. I mean, Batman and Superman are two of the best-known characters on the entire planet. Forget fiction, nonfiction, any type of genre. They're, you know, the two of the best-known people, period.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, when I think of Batman and Superman, I think of the world's finest. I think of two epic heroes, two epic icons, two people that literally inspire the kids, so to speak. This movie should be making $1 billion, $2 billion. It's like, there should be something more here. And DC is not going to get that.
And the issue is, you only get one chance at this.
Yeah.
Kevin... help me out here, Andrew.
Smith?
Feige.
Thank you.
Not
all right,
Feige.
Kevin Feige is what I used to say. All right, Kevin Feige. I haven't interviewed him. Don't look at me. I've only talked about him a number of times, but not live on air, thankfully, or else I'd look like a complete idiot. So, you know, he hinted at this as well, that in an article on IO9 where they asked him, and Mike, you wanted to mention this, that he hinted that if the reaction to the Avengers had been roughly the same as we've seen with BVS, that universe would be very, very different. And to that end, I'd say you only get one chance at this. Marvel only had one shot to make an Avengers movie with all these characters together, and they've managed to knock it out of the park. And I don't think even the biggest Marvel fanboy would say any of those characters is even close to the level of Batman or Superman. It's not, you know, there's a world of difference here. The only Marvel character that kind of comes close is Spider-Man, and he wasn't in the Avengers 1 or 2, but they still managed to do, you know, crazy money and everything else, and Batman Superman is never going to get the chance to do that. And even if there's a Justice League movie, it still won't be the same time we saw the titular heavyweights in the same film. So, I mean, no matter what, in terms of live action, they can never kind of take this away. And that's not a good look. They kind of botcheroo'd it.
Yeah, like, it sucks that you're right, though. We're never going to have that experience, seeing these guys up on the screen for the first time again.
Not just that, but the enthusiasm, too. Next time somebody's going to do this again, let's say, you know, 15 years from now, Andrew's still alive, I'm long dead, and you're still alive, that when you two do your Much Better Without Me podcast, you will talk about, you know, the fact that, hey, I was really disappointed by the first time this happened. I don't really want to get interested in this movie. That's something they can never undo, unfortunately.
Yeah, like this generation now has this. And you're going to have to, right, you're going to have to wait 10 or 15 years to wipe the slate. Not clean, but to at least give it a wipe anyway.
And I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think this is going to be like Batman and Robin. Like, I think they're committed. They're going to at least try to salvage it. So it's not like they're just going to... It's not another Green Lantern. They're just not just going to sweep it under the rug and be like, yeah, Ryan Reynolds, a superhero? What do you mean?
Well, I think a big tell will be what happens to DCU after Wonder Woman. Because we have Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, and Wonder Woman.
After part of that's that, because you just mentioned the two that are already so deep in production, they can't change them.
Exactly, which means they at least have committed this far. After that, at least they have a chance to change things if they want.
What I don't understand is initial studio reaction put... They wanted $1.1 billion, and they were talking about how that was conservative. They thought they were going to do better. Then the movie screened internally, and suddenly their estimate went down to $789 million. So in other words, they knew something was wrong at that point. About a week after that, they extended their contracts with Snyder, though. So, I mean, why do that if you were concerned? That's the one thing I have not been able to get a decent answer to, and I've been asking a number of different people, and nobody's said anything. So I'm not sure what that means for the future. But I mean, movies aren't sports. Like in sports, you give somebody an extension and then you can them the next year anyway. And you just eat the money. Movie studios don't like to do that. I know I just lost everybody because I made a sports reference.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, okay, guys, so here will be my final question to you guys for this show. You have a chance to fix this. What do you do? You already have all these movies coming out. What do you do? Who do you fire? Who do you rehire? Who do you hire for rewrites?
I was going to say go to the comic books, but then we all know how DC's doing with comics right now, and it's mixed.
Snyder there who would do a good job, but yeah.
Bring Scott Snyder in.
Yeah, the issue with that is Warner Brothers looks at comic books as this medium that's not worth their time, though.
Well, we're not talking about the real world. We're talking about a fictional one that we're creating, Ryan.
That's true.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, my answer is going to be one of those.
So what's going to happen is they're going to accidentally smudge one of the contracts and then change and be like, "Oh, sorry, Zach, we meant to sign Scott Snyder." Wah, wah, wah. And either that, or maybe we're currently living in a timeline where Barry Allen hasn't gone back in time and stopped something more. The horrible hiring of Zack Snyder. That would be a good plot line for like a season of Flash, stopping Zack Snyder from ever getting able.
I still think there's some good in you, Zack Snyder. And then Zack Snyder kills his dad. Thanks, Flash.
I saw a great meme about the whole Zack Snyder Superman dad thing. And it shows Superman's dad from each incarnation, from the Donner, from the Smallville, and then finally Man of Steel. And it was like, son, you can do anything, you have great power, and people will believe in you. And then John Clark from Smallville, or John Schneider from Smallville, is like, you can do a lot of things, and you can help a lot of people. Then it cuts to Zack Snyder's thing, Pa Kent. He's like, so I should let those people die? Yeah, maybe. I found that particularly witty.
By the way, I watched Smallville for 10 years, each year hoping it would get better, and it really didn't.
That's your fault.
That's 10 years of my life. I know. I'm not blaming
you. I would argue...
Fool me 10 times. Shame on you.
I would argue there were some good episodes up through about the sixth season.
There were some good episodes, and the season premieres and finales were generally pretty good, but everything in between was not. And there was always something in those that let you down, like the fact that, Doomsday got buried in a dam and appeared for 30 seconds. Or Darkseid gets punched once and he's gone, or stuff like that. Anyway,
yeah.
As to your question, I think what's going to happen is they're going to continue on. I would not be surprised if Snyder gets replaced. In terms of what I would like to see happen, I'd like to see Snyder get replaced. And as for who I'd want to run it, I think pretty much everybody on Earth would agree, and this will never happen, because again, he's from a medium that Warner Brothers looks down on, but hire Paul Dini and Bruce Timm. Like, these are two guys that would build your universe in record time and make it really good.
Yeah.
I think for me, if I was in charge of fixing things, first I'd like to get rid of a lot of the Warner Brothers older management, because I think that's blocking a lot of young creative ideas from getting out on the screen. I'm trying to think if there's any director I'd like to maybe see them take a shot with it.
Quentin Tarantino.
I wouldn't mind the guy that did Kick-Ass.
No. Oh.
Mark Webb? Why not? Sorry.
Don't you mean Matthew Vaughn?
Matthew Vaughn. Why not? Give me one good reason why not. Better than Snyder.
Yeah.
I'd also say, I mean, okay. X-Men First Class, I would argue, might be his best comic book film, which I really enjoy despite some of its problems.
Yeah, like I think someone like that could maybe take things a little bit back to basics, maybe explore a different area of the characters. One thing I'd like
George to Lucas. See, oh, sorry.
One thing I'd like to see happen in a Superman movie, and I know we got it arguably with this one, we got a new Superman villain. Can we not use Lex Luthor? What, like, honestly, can you name five Superman villains? Think about that. Okay, go ahead.
What do you mean overall? Yeah. Overall.
Okay, so name Parasite, five. Metallo, Toyman. He's not great, but Toyman is a thing.
I like that you're naming ones I wouldn't have named, too.
Let's see. Bizarro. Livewire.
Mr. Mixa, whatever.
Oh, Mr. Mithpidalic. Yeah, there's a bunch. I can name a bunch.
I was gonna throw in Brainiac's an obvious one that doesn't get used in live action.
Yet, okay, I would argue you can name way more Batman villains quickly.
Well, you can, but that's because there's been way more Batman everything, well, I would argue.
I just think Batman has a more interesting rogues gallery.
I think Superman... Here, you want to know what the oldest lie in comic books is, Senator?
Yes.
That Superman is boring. Because he's not. Superman's not boring. It's just that there's been shitty writers on Superman. Yep. What Superman is, at his core, is actually one of the most optimistic and idealistic, like, characters of all time. Where it's basically like, what if you had unlimited power, and what if power doesn't corrupt? What if power is actually good? And it's a very an optimistic view of the world, and you know, that's something that we don't get any at all right now.
Yeah, I mean, read stuff by people like Brian Azzarello or Alan Moore or others, you know, talking about the heavy hitters in comics. You know,
or just read All-Star Superman by Grant Morrison, yes. And you'll be like, okay.
Include him too. I mean, I have the same issue. Like, I love, you know, I've always been a fan of the Punisher. I don't cheer for him because he's a goddamn psychopath. My relationship is very odd with him. Anyway, so been a huge fan of his, but he's poorly written, probably I'd say about 8 times out of 10. And it's only like the heavyweights who seem to be able to get him right. You're Jason Aaron's, Greg Rucka's, and obviously Garth Ennis. So yeah, it's... Superman's kind of the same. He's not an easy character to get. And part of that is you have to be a good enough writer to write good characters around him as well as the main character himself. And the Hulk's another one that I'd include in that group. Batman's a pretty easy character to write. I mean, he's got so many kind of ticks. And then, oh yeah, he's a normal guy. It's a lot harder to make your audience feel something for a god, or in the case of someone like the Punisher, a psychopath or sociopath at best. So it takes a lot more writing chops to do that. Batman, you know, and people remember all the good Batman villains. There's a lot of really bad Batman villains.
I don't want to hear any shit. I forget. Crazy Quilt, Kite Man, or the Ten-Eyed Man. Yes. Come on, Ryan.
Come on, God. Calendar Man. Come on.
Calendar Man is solid, okay?
Calendar Man got some good moments. And that's the thing. Actually, Calendar Man's a great example. Any character can be good if you're a good enough writer and you get a good idea on how to use them. And that's been one of the issues. And to be blunt, David Goyer is not a good enough writer. He doesn't have good enough ideas. That's pretty much the worst things I can say about him, so I'll just stop now.
But I guess ultimately, closing thoughts on this, guys, and I'll start. I wanted more from this movie, and I'm disappointed more than I thought I would be, especially seeing some of the fan reactions. I thought they were critics, arguably. And it sucks to see, particularly a friend of mine, because I know he's such a huge Superman fan, to see him get taken down a peg. And that's my friend Angry Joe Vargas. This guy's a phenomenally huge Superman fan. And watching his review of this, you could see the anger, but it's something different when you see disappointment in someone's eyes. And that's kind of how I felt watching Batman v Superman 2. I felt such a huge swell of disappointment. There were some really cool moments. I love Ben Affleck as Batman. I think some of the action sequences looked really cool. Gal Gadot gives me a lot of hope for what she could pull off with the role. And Jason Momoa looks really cool as Aquaman. I want that movie to be the DCU movie that I really take to. But ultimately, I worry for the future of what DC is going to do. So, next in line.
You know what? I'm looking forward to 10 years when they reboot everything and start over again, because I don't really have much faith in the current regime, but hey, maybe Suicide Squad could be fun.
Yay. The end.
Ouch. Yeah, this movie is going to be forgotten about in a few months. I've been really disappointed with I'm disappointed with a lot of the reaction on both sides. I've had people on both sides really angry at reviewer me, and that I think is really sad. I think when you there's not a nice way to put this, so hell with it. When you take all emotion out of this film and you just look at it as a movie, it fails miserably. I mean, there's significant plot holes that I think even the most ardent fan can't just ignore or wish away. There's just too many issues with it. And if you enjoy it, fine. But this has been something that's really annoyed me in the past few years. People are putting aside what they enjoy and confusing it with what's good. Some of my favorite examples of this, I like the 1980s Transformers, the movie, the animated film. It's one of my favorite movies. Do I think it's good? No.
It's entertaining.
Star Trek The Next Generation is my favorite Star Trek, but Deep Space Nine is the best written one, and I don't think there's much leeway. Shawshank Redemption is a fantastic, great movie, one of the best I've ever seen. Is it one of my favorites, though? No, because, I don't sit down and rewatch it every couple days or think, gee, I'd really like to see this again. There can be that difference, and for some reason that's getting really confused around there. I mean, this isn't one of those movies you can sit down and say, this was a good movie. No.
Yeah, I've seen some arguments on my Facebook get really ugly over this particular movie, actually.
As opposed to other arguments on your Facebook.
Yeah, wait, when have you had a good argument on your Facebook?
I don't know, as you guys call it, the everlasting dumpster fire. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for for my bronchitis. That's going to do it for this edition of This Week in Geeks Topic Show. Now, we are going to be doing Game of Thrones for the month of April. So we'll probably...
I think you mean A Song of Ice and Fire.
Song of Ice and Fire. We will be... We will be probably doing that probably the first week of May. And then in May, we're going to talk about Marvel again, but we're going to talk about events because Civil War was a huge event. But we'll talk about some of the other ones that were really enjoyable as well. Maybe some stuff we'd like to see adapted into the MCU at some point. And then in June, we're going to take a look at decades, some of the fun things that we've seen, some of the not so fun things, and just kind of taking a look at the past before we hit Ghostbusters again in July. So,
Hashtag Ryan... not Andrew's Ghostbusters.
Oh, God.
So you can look forward to me and Ryan doing more stuff with Blanchard over on Mayhem Mike's. We got Payback coming up in just a few weeks. I think we're going to be doing a wrestler spotlight maybe on Stone Cold, which I'm kind of looking forward to doing because I haven't seen a lot of his classic matches.
And Raw has been bafflingly fairly good lately.
I need to watch the Hulu version today, so hopefully I'll get around to doing that after this podcast. And then hopefully, like I said, Nerd News will be available on the weekend at some point. I do have, like I've mentioned many times before, episodes of Botched Roll ready. I should have a couple of those up before the end of the month, I'm hoping. And Rad, I'm not quite sure what I'm working on now. Hopefully Star Fox Zero I should have out in just about a week or so. So, yeah. So until next time, we have been...
Andrew Roebuck.
Ryan the Uneven Flow.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, don't let your plot points revolve around a jar of piss.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi! So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.